O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Comforter, we are gathered in your presence to hear your holy word. We ask you now to open our hearts, so that through the preaching of your word we may be brought to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. This evening we follow the order of service as found printed beginning on page 22 in the forepart of the supplement to service of the word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our transgressions and pray you of your bountiful mercy to be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. Renew us by your Spirit and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading, or our scripture reading for this, the first of our midweek Advent services this year, is found in the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 37th verse. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived?" Here ends our scripture reading. Please rise. We use as our confession of faith this evening the words of the Christmas Creed as found printed in the service bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who sent his Son to be my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, my Lord, the long-promised Messiah, who came as foretold, being conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in my Savior, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I rejoice in my salvation, walk in Christ, show forth his praises, and will one day live and reign with him in all eternity. Amen.
Thank you.
This evening, and God willing, for the next two midweek Advent services, we're going to attempt to gain greater insight into this event that we look forward to celebrating. During this Advent season, we will be carried back in time, in our minds, to a different time, a much different time, as we'll see. So we begin this journey this evening as we carry ourselves back through the years, back, always back, before the wars, before the Vietnam War, before the World Wars, before the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, before the founding of this country, before the discovery of this country by Western Europeans. We go back further still, back past the time of the Reformation and knights and castles, back before those ancient wars, back even before the fall of the great Roman Empire. And you have to understand something about your existence if you're going to experience this the way that we need to. You understand that your world is connected to the earth, and gone is the clutter. Dismiss it from your minds. Clear it away. All the distractions, all the noise, all the clutter, all the things that you've come to know, there is no blaring music. There is no ringing phone or cell phone. There is no, the clothes that you wear. There's no rayon or dacron or polyester or nylon. There is only things that come from the earth. Your clothes are made of things that grow or things that eat things that grow. It's made from plants or animals. That's it. Gone is all music. Except occasionally, acoustically, you hear or play on something that you yourself or someone else made by hand. Gone, all books. No such thing as a magazine. All modern toys and appliances. There is no electricity, so there's obviously nothing that runs on electricity. When the sun goes down, if you don't have a candle or oil in your lamp, you have darkness. Darkness that you cannot conquer, that you cannot overcome until the sun again rises. There's no plastic, no plastic containers, no plastic wrappers. Everything that you have, everything that you know, everything that you've ever seen is made of wood or stone or baked clay or of animals or occasionally of refined metals. This is your world. And the year is 3 BC. Only you don't know it as that. In fact, you don't even really care about the year because your life is a seasonal changing thing. In fact, the way things are now, you could just as well measure in centuries as years because it's the same over and over with only minor insignificant variations, just the same. Your livestock is born, your livestock is raised, your livestock is slaughtered, your fields are planted, your fields are cultivated and watered, your fields are harvested, and then comes the winter over and over and over again. You live in a world, though much quieter, because the only sounds you hear are the sounds of the wind, the sounds of nature, occasionally a sound made by a human being, but none of the artificial things. No motors, no jets, nothing not directly connected to man and the earth. And yet, this time is special because this is, you're about to find out, the time, the year of our Lord. that pivotal time in history is about to interrupt your sameness, the quiet of your world, and according to this focal moment in time, all other years will be reckoned before Christ and AD Anno Domini in the year of our Lord from this point in time. This is your world, and you sit and you hear now words written 700 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah. In this setting, in this world, you hear these words. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. These you recognize as God's words, inspired through the prophet, preserved these hundreds of years for you. And God has assured us that whoever hears these words and treasure them will be blessed by them. But then we look around ourselves, you look around yourself once again, and you see only the same, the quiet, the monotonous, the over and over repetition, the wind, the rain, the occasional farm animal noise or person noise, banging or talking. But that's it. You live in a world that is populated infinitely more by animals than by people. It rains very little change. You live in a land that's been dominated by others. This is your world. This is the world in which you find yourself. A world that not long ago was under the oppression of the Persians, and before that the Babylonians, and now it's under the iron fist of Rome. You live in this land that is dominated and bullied to the point where this too is same. Always an oppressor, always someone over us. And yet you've come to accept this as the way it is, and you go about your day-to-day life. But that's not bad, because you are connected to the land. You spend your days, every waking moment, just about struggling to have enough to survive. You're not familiar with the concept of free time or leisure time. You rest from your labors. You eat, you sleep, and you work again. And what happens in the government, among the Romans or the rulers, it really doesn't affect you here in Bethlehem. Because you are once again tied to the land. And you have this constant struggle for survival. You live in a grubby world, a dirty world, because in a world with dirt floors and glassless and screenless windows, and where every drop of water, that scarce water that is there, has to be carried, cleanliness, like others later would know, it isn't even an option. It's a brutal existence. It's threatened always, because there are no doctors. If someone gets blood poisoning, they die. If someone gets a disease, they usually die. And yet, connected as you are to the earth, you're also thereby connected to your God. Because you don't have all these other things on which to rely. You don't have insurance. You don't have medicine. You don't have social services. You have the land and you have your God. That's your existence. Centered on keeping yourself and your family alive. Now, as a citizen of this time, you hear these words that were written 700 years before you were even born. And you hear these words again, and you've heard them before, because your priest has read them to you often before. And you find yourself hearing these words, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." For centuries, these words have been read, and nothing has changed. It's a promise, you recognize that, you've been taught it's a promise of the Messiah who would be sent. But for 700 years, the Messiah has not come. You wait, you assume this is true because these are words from our God. But you hear them so often and nothing ever happens, you stop hearing them. What do they even mean? How does one prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God? What did they once mean? They couldn't mean anything real. Not really, because nothing ever happens. Over and over again, we hear the same words. And yet this one prophesied never comes. And no one would ever come to a place like this. Not to Bethlehem, because nothing ever happens in Bethlehem. So you ask yourself, for what seems like the 10,000th time, what did these mean to me? To prepare for the coming of this Lord who never seems to come. In hearing, you do not hear. Being called upon to prepare, you do not prepare, because you don't know how to prepare. And this event so long ago foretold, odds are it hasn't happened in 700 years. It's not going to happen anytime soon. And yet in all of this, one thing suddenly dawns on you. And it seems so obvious, so apparent, that you're amazed that you missed it. And that is the simple truth that nothing ever happens until it happens. Every promise by nature has a time of waiting, of preparing, of having that promise fulfilled. The very nature of a promise is you don't have it, or it's not a promise. A promise tells of something that's to come later. So, of course, there's going to be a waiting time. And you realize you're the one who has imposed on that waiting time some sort of limits, after which you, begin to doubt that it's going to be fulfilled? Who are you to determine how long that promise will be in that waiting time? You know that God made the promise. So the question is not if it will be fulfilled, just when. And then, unknown to you, at that exact moment, or shortly thereafter, as the gospel writers would label it, the fullness of the time had come. And that promise, for which people really had been waiting since the fall into sin in the garden, certainly in the 700 years since Isaiah wrote those words, that waiting time, that interim between the promise and the fulfillment, it's suddenly come to an end. And you know what's even more remarkable? In this world of sameness, in this world of this methodical following of one season after another, where nothing seems to really change, you almost missed it. Waiting for 700 years and you almost missed it. Why? Because something else had been happening. For whatever reason, the emperor, Caesar Augustus, decided he wanted his entire kingdom to be numbered. So he ordered a census. And there was excitement in Jerusalem for the first time in a long time because everybody had to go to their hometown. So hundreds of people were here that don't usually live here. And it was this time of being reacquainted with people or acquainted with people. It was this time of excitement. And the result of that was the mother of God and the stepfather of God, this promised Messiah, were pushed out of the way. Because of this distraction, even in this mundane existence, we almost didn't even notice them. Now, we were saved by a couple of things, all of them by the hand of God. We were saved by the fact that this baby's birth was announced. It was announced to shepherds watching their flocks, and they came down and told others. And then later it was revealed to Magi that came from the east. And then by that star that came and stood over. So we had some time. This coming wasn't instant. And if you miss it, it's lost on you because this Messiah came to do the work of salvation, came to pay for mankind's sins by living a perfect life and dying. So he was there, and God made sure that his birth was announced. So we had time there to come to know who he was and what he was. This is the land of Jesus' birth. But we can't stay there, of course. We only visit to gain perspective, insight. Now we have to be carried back, forward, through all those things. All that history, countless hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, all the technological advances, all the increase in commotion and distraction, all of the noise and the pollution were carried forward to all of that to this day. And we find ourselves in another interim, don't we? Another waiting period between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise. And like then, when they waited about 4,000 years since the fall, from the fall into sin into the coming, so we've been waiting too. And the danger is exactly the same, only worse. The danger was that in even that time, in that sameness time, in that connected to the land, and that undistracted time, they were almost distracted. But they had time. God granted them time to come to know, to identify, to recognize that Savior that was sent. The promise that we're waiting for, the one that's to come at any moment, we're told, there is no waiting time. There is no warning. There is no time after he comes when we can come to know him. So unlike the first time when we could afford to be unprepared to greet him at the moment, we can't be that way in this interim. Because then his promise is he will come like lightning. He will come instantly. And that will be that axe chop of time. And there will be no time after that. Because he will have come to judge the living and the dead. And then we compare the relative uncluttered life that was then to the distractions that are now. And we wonder how. How can we carry out these words from Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in a desert a highway for our God? We live in a very different kind of desert, don't we? We have hearts very much cluttered, very much distracted. We have so much noise and information and confusion. The only solution is to go to that quiet place like you are now. That quiet place where this Savior who never completely left us. He left us bodily, but he promised to be with us still. Where this Savior will meet with us, he'll remind us. And that's how we move aside that clutter, when we refocus on this thing, that this promise, that as surely as the first promise was kept, so will this one be. We don't know when, as they didn't. But when that second fullness of time comes, we can have confidence, centered always and only in God's word, that we will be ready to greet him, to see him as he is. God, preserve each of us. Clear away from your lives this distraction, not just during this season, but always. To whatever extent possible, take that time out of your day to be with him day by day. And then when he comes, at that instant, you'll not be ashamed. You'll not be terrified. You are his. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Passing off the way from thy breath.
Please rise. Our service continues as printed in the bulletin with the collect for peace. The Lord bless his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Lord God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be prepared to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in peace and quietness. This we ask through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, whom you sent to earth, who suffered as the Lamb of sacrifice for our sins. Holy Jesus, true Son of God, we thank you for demonstrating God's love for us in such a powerful way by coming here as our brother to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. As we return in spirit to Bethlehem's stable, where you first appeared in human flesh to be our Savior, lend us your grace to rededicate ourselves in thoughts, words, and deeds to you. Clear away from our lives the clutter that distracts, all clutter that distracts from you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us the faith of John the Baptist, which believes and confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of the world. Give us true joy and peace in so believing. O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this season when we are reminded so much of the precious gift of salvation, stir up in our hearts a deep sense of brotherly love. Cause us to be concerned about the welfare of others, especially their spiritual well-being. Give each of us a spirit of generosity toward those who are in need, and let us think first and foremost about their spiritual needs. For we have an unending supply, what they need to hear, what they need to be saved. Holy Trinity, bless us, the lambs and sheep under your care, with every needful blessing. Grant us good health this winter season. Keep every kind of disease and illness from us. Watch over our children. Protect them from all harm and danger. Keep under your mercy and special care the aged, those who are feeble. Give aid to the needy. Bring comfort to the distressed. When the winter weather becomes severe, keep each of us safe, warm. Protect us at all times in our travels. Stand guard over our homes, our schools, our churches, our places of employment. Grant these and all other needful blessings according to your good pleasure, and hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.